The Immigration Minister Peter Dutton will today inspect the Manus Island Detention Centre in Papua New Guinea, but the Shadow Minister, Richard Miles, will not be with him. Richard Miles was due to fly on the Minister's RAF jet, but late on Friday his office was told that staffing changes meant there was no longer room for him. This curious last-minute change came after Labor agreed to support a new Senate inquiry into the detention facilities on Nauru. A recent independent report by the former Integrity Commissioner Philip Moss found evidence of rape, sexual assaults by guards and of minors and guards trading marijuana for sexual favours on Nauru. The government says it will implement all the recommendations from the Moss review, but there are still concerns that that won't go far enough. Barrister and refugee advocate Julian Burnside delivered the annual Hal Wootten lecture at the University Law Faculty last night. It was titled The Bludgeoning of Chance. Julian Burnside, welcome to RM Breakfast.
G'day, Fran.
Your speech last night was more than a condemnation of Australia's offshore detention policy. It was also a bit of a tale of how you came to be so passionate in this area, and it started with the Tampa. But it was coming face to face with stories of some of the asylum seekers in our detention centres that changed you deeply. Is there a defining moment or a defining story that activated you?
Well, there was one in particular fairly early on. It was a family who'd come from Iran, mum and dad and two daughters. The older daughter was 11 at the relevant time. She was in a very bad way after about 18 months in detention. And the department moved the family from Woomera in South Australia to Maribyrnong in the western suburbs of Melbourne because the kid needed daily psychiatric help. She was in a seriously bad way. But after they moved them, for the first couple of weeks of their stay in Maribyrnong, nobody came to see her, even though that was the reason for moving them. And on a Sunday night in May of 2002, that kid, well, the parents and her sister were off having dinner, that little kid took a bedsheet and hanged herself. And she was strangling and they got her down. She was taken to the hospital nearby with her mother. And Con from the Asylum Seekers Resource Centre, who'd been looking after their case, heard about it and went to the hospital. The two guards had accompanied them. There's two guards outside the intensive care unit. And when he went to the hospital about 9:30 that night to see if he could do anything to help them, he said g'day to the guards and said he just wanted to speak to the mother. The guard said no, he wasn't allowed to because lawyers visiting hours in immigration detention are 9 to 5. And because there's two guards with them, of course, they're still legally speaking in immigration detention. And he rang me at home and told me what had just happened. I was horrified.
Do you think Australians broadly would be horrified if we heard more of these stories? I mean, there's no doubt about it that politicians on both our major parties run hard on this issue because there's votes in it for them. The Australian public seems to want government to be tough on borders. Do you think we don't want to hear these stories, or if we did know what was happening to children in particular, it might change anything?
Look, there's two things about that. The first is, of course, stories about the way children are being treated and the way they're suffering has always been a weak point for governments. You know, it's very, very difficult to think that a young child deserves to be treated so badly that they'll try and kill themselves. And in fact, there is a suicidal child in Wickham Point in Darwin right now, today, who's been trying to kill herself because she knows the family is about to be sent back to Nauru, where apparently she'd been abused. Now, when a 5-year-old child tries to kill herself, you know there is something seriously wrong, and there's no votes in treating a child like that. But you're right, there are votes in a tough approach to asylum seekers because we've been told for more than a decade now that they're illegal. A lot of members of the public, I think, believe that the tough border position of the coalition is protecting us from criminals, which is simply false. And to their eternal discredit, Labor have never come forward and told the truth that these people are not illegal. And in fact, they're simply innocent human beings seeking protection.
Both sides of politics and the major parties support offshore detention regime, the offshore processing regime. We've had the Moss report in the last week or so detailing some terrible cases of sexual abuse of women and children on Nauru. Do you think it is possible ever to have a safe offshore processing regime? Because speaking of Labor, we had Bob Carr on the program the other day who said he believed it was possible.
I suppose it's possible in theory. It depends a great deal on the details. You'd also have to wonder why it's worth spending billions of dollars sending people to a remote place to have them processed when we've got quite a lot of space in Australia.
Well, it's worth it, according to both sides of politics, because it stops the boat. They argue it stops people drowning at sea, and it certainly stopped all those boat arrivals that we saw in the last 3 years of Labor.
Sure. So then you have to ask yourself, well, what's the deterrent element? And apparently the deterrent element is the harshness of the treatment and the promise that you'll never be resettled in Australia. Mm. Now, the harsh treatment, you know, I have been told by workers on Manus and Nauru that the purpose of offshore processing in those places is to break the spirit of the people who get there. Now, to think that Australia, with all of its wealth and empty spaces, to think we are trying to break the spirit of a handful of people who are seeking protection is incredible. But that's what the workers are told, and that's what their conduct is directed to.
It's 3 minutes to eight on Breakfast. Our guest is Julian Burnside, barrister and high-profile refugee advocate. He delivered the Hal Wooten lecture at the University Law School last night. Is there a tipping point, do you think, in public opinion or international opinion or political opinion? You mentioned that the young girl, the five-year-old, who is apparently in Darwin, self-harming because she doesn't want to be sent back to Nauru. Now, the Greens, in the wake of the findings of the Moss report, the government has accepted all the recommendations, but until those are fully implemented, the Greens are saying the government should not send anyone back to Nauru, particularly the 60 children who are on the mainland determined to have to be sent back to Nauru. Do you think that there is pressure mounting on the government to halt this for a while, either legal or moral or political?
Well, I can't comment about political pressure because I'm really a neophyte when it comes to politics.
What are the legal ramifications of sending children back to Nauru, do you think? Are there any?
Well, in places where the person has been damaged on Nauru or is harming themselves, trying to kill themselves in this instance, for fear of being sent back to Nauru, I think there are pretty clear legal problems because it looks negligent to send a person to a place which may cause them to die. Of course, if the person does die over there, it's kind of hard for their relatives to get any sort of legal redress in a practical sense. But the moral argument, I think, is overwhelming. I just don't think Australians regard themselves as a country of people who will deliberately mistreat people in order to stop them from seeking protection. And, you know, you referred in passing to the idea that we're preventing drownings. I don't believe that for a minute. I don't believe that we are preventing drownings. We don't know if we're preventing drownings. We know that we're not being told of any drownings, but stopping the boats arriving, or stopping the boats, has actually just stopped them arriving. We know it hasn't stopped them setting out.
But that's the point, isn't it? Just finally, and I'm sorry, we've only got a minute to the news to wrap this up, but there are many people, many thousands of people moving around the world and the oceans looking for a safe place. Many of them would love to come to Australia. The whole point is to try and get some regional solutions so that people can go to a number of places. That's what Australians, by and large, think they want to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Malcolm Fraser did it the right way in the 1970s for Indochinese refugees, and maybe that's something we should be exploring. But this idea of punishing people in order to frighten them from seeking our help strikes me as being morally bankrupt. And frankly, the other thing about the suggestion we're preventing them from drowning is, what's the logic which says that if they do not drown, we'll punish them? And that's precisely what we're doing now. We punish the ones who don't drown.
Julian Burnside, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Julian Burnside is barrister and refugee advocate who delivered the Hal Wooten lecture at the University Law School last night. And RN Breakfast has invited the Minister for Immigration, Peter Dutton, onto the program to speak to us a number of times since the release of the Moss report into those allegations of abuse on Nauru, but has so far been unavailable.